Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are finishing up our Cloak and Dagger feedback, rounding up season one.
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger, yo. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Let's talk Cloak and Dagger. Let's just dive right into this feedback. We've got a few pages of feedback to get through, and we're just gonna nail it. Let's do this.
All right, Sherman Smith said Cloak and Dagger S2 Ep 8. Yes, connectivity. The lady cop mentioned her friend Misty. Great episode as well. We may not be sure if Runaways is MCU, but Cloak and Dagger definitely is.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be where she was talking about her friend Misty, and I've got to introduce you to my friend Misty, back from up in New York, and that's that loops in with Luke Cage season 2 saying O'Reilly went down to New Orleans. So it's the same O'Reilly.
That is awesome. I love it. I love connectivity, and it's that's such a small nod. They didn't have to make that lady from Harlem. They didn't have to, but making her from Harlem gave us that. And now if she comes back as a villain next season, or a hero, or whatever. What if she decides to go home to Harlem after she does some work in New Orleans? Like, we could have her show back up. How cool is that? Okay,
that would be so cool.
I love it. I love it. This gets me jazzed, people. This gets me jazzed when they connect things. We haven't really had strong connections in a while, and that was one, except for in the Netflix, specific universe, Netflix-specific realm, I should say. Not universe. It's not a separate universe. Okay.
All right, so Sherman Smith goes on to say, Cloak and Dagger S1 Ep 9. That bar scene was so sad. Even the black cop stood by while that murderer beat up on the cop lady. So many good moments in this episode, but that moment really stuck with me. Mm. Yeah, when everybody was standing around in the bar while Detective Dickhead beat up on O'Reilly.
Right. I don't know why Sherman brings up the race of the cop. Because you'd think he wouldn't be a corrupt cop, but I guess the corrupt cops come in all races, because there wasn't anything particularly racial about the fight they were having. But man,
you would just think that a black man would be like, you know what? There's been enough, beating of people from cops in this world. Like, this doesn't need to happen anymore.
Sure, you definitely would hope so, but you'd hope that would be the case with any cop, and it's super sad that it's not. I think that man, that whole thing where Tyrone convinces the cop to help them, and then another cop walks in, and then he punks out. He gets scared and runs away. That scene stuck with me. Ugh. Yeah, all this stuff really sticks with me. I think they did a really good job on Cloak and Dagger of expressing how Tyrone feels about the police. And Tyrone's a real good kid, raised by a good family, and that hasn't really been in trouble and hasn't had a reason to fear the police. And because of the culture that we live in, he has to. And that's awful. Yep. It's just absolutely awful. So.
And looks like Sherman Smith rounds it out saying, Cloak and Dagger S2 Ep 10. How did that cop convince the other cops that Tyrone was a cop killer? Did they just take his word for it, or did they just not care and decide to blindly follow him?
I don't remember.
I think it was just that they put out an APB that, the person, they pinned it on him, and they put out the APB. And then that was it. He's had connections up high before that kept him from being charged when Tyrone's brother was killed. So, those same connections could easily bend the law to do that.
Which cop was killed? That's what I'm blanking on.
Oh, it was O'Reilly's boyfriend.
Oh, that's
right. The guy who shot the video.
That's right. Yeah, and then they just said it was Tyrone. They didn't really have good evidence. And I guess in this world of having the corrupt cops, it didn't matter if there was evidence or not, which sucks. It just sucks. I just really hate when people...
are shitty.
Are so shitty.
Yep.
today, McCain died.
Yeah, Senator John McCain.
John McCain died. And it's made me real sad today, because I think that John McCain, you know, John McCain was a Republican and on different sides of different issues, and but like I just really like what I've seen of that man. Like he could have differences with people, but those people still liked him, and still there was no hate between him and other people, and
yeah,
and
he was still respected.
And when he had a difference of opinion with his party, he like stood for what he believed in, you know. When everyone else is standing there and telling you to move, you know, like, he stood for it for something. Like, and I think so many politicians are only power seekers. Like, period. That's all. All their entire lives, they may do something for you, but it's only so they can get elected. Like, it has nothing to do with doing the right thing. And John McCain seemed like an older style of politician that was there to serve people. And it made me real sad. Just in our divisive time right now, he was a guy who could kind of be on either side of an issue because he just believed something was right, you know. And that made me sad today. So
yeah. I don't know how you got to that from people being shitty, but yeah.
Well, we were just talking about. I'm thinking about a cop standing up to other cops.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. That got me to him standing up to his party when he thought they were wrong about something, you know. And that doesn't really happen on either side, very very often. I think. When someone does something that is obviously not in their own interest, because they believe it's right and it could be bad for them in whatever way, politically or whatever, and part of that was, I think at that point he'd already been diagnosed with brain cancer, and it's like maybe he was like, you know, it's not going to really, like there's not another election coming anyway, so you could say it's like less of a thing, but he's just been a guy who stood up for what he thought was right for a long time, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why that came to mind, was the idea of these police officers. Often there's this whole like talk about like the blue wall of silence or whatever, where just like they all like they don't talk when other of their police brethren do something wrong, and that just reminds me of the kind of man John McCain was, and you kind of need those kind of men in these positions too, who are actually trying to be public servants and not trying to just hold on to their weird power. And police definitely do that. There's a lot of police officers out there that, even if they're not a racist, even if they're not out there to do harm or whatever, like there's a lot of police officers who are just on a power trip. I've definitely encountered that in my own life, where like a police officer is telling me to do something that they have no legal right to tell me to do. And I'm like, do you have a legal right to tell me to do that? You don't. Like, I know you don't. And they'll just, I told you to do it. It's the law now. And I'm like, I've had cops tell me stuff like that before. And it's just, there's just a certain type of person who gets on a power trip, and it shouldn't have anything to do with, they shouldn't be given power, you know?
Yeah,
we need more men.
Yep.
Who are willing to stand up to these kinds of institutions.
Yes. All right. So let's go to our next feedback, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. got a little.
The Fetch says to us on Twitter at # Cloak and Dagger at MCUcast. Seems like something changed between episodes 8 and 9. Attitudes completely changed, and characters, in my opinion, seem to completely revert back to how they were before their characters grew. Did I miss something?
It's another one of those. I watched those 3 episodes at the same time, so I'm like, which one was that? I think what they were trying to get across was they were, I think they even talk about it in the episode, don't they? Don't they talk about how like, they talk about storytelling, isn't that the storytelling, and the teacher's talking about the story, and he's like, right before he overcomes his
You gotta watch the heroes fall.
You have to watch the heroes fall, and often they fall further than where they started and all that stuff. Like, he's talking about the hero's journey and the story circle and all that stuff. Like, I think they were just they were trying to stick to a story structure, and they also were trying to follow, you know, tried and true storytelling. Where I don't really remember what happened at the end of episode 8 to cause that in those two characters or all those characters, but it is interesting. I'm trying to remember.
Well, that's where all the bad happened.
Yeah, so I think that's what happens is sometimes when you go through horrible things.
They felt like they won. Sorry.
Oh no, my bad.
I think it's that they felt like they won, and then they were hurt so badly by the system, and everything that, you know, that had happened. Like, it seemed like everything went so well, but then it didn't. It didn't actually go well. It all turned out worse. So, you know, after that, they just kind of shrink back into their hole where they started.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, character growth for me is obviously bad because it turned out bad this time.
Well, and they become disillusioned is really what I guess happened in that episode. Like, they thought they were moving in a direction, and they realized this thing we're trying to overcome is much bigger than us, and I'm not sure if we can do it. So they kind of shrink back and go into who they are comfortable being.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as Tandy is concerned, because I was mostly just talking about Tyrone there, but like, as far as Tandy's concerned, her entire foundation of who she thought her father was completely shattered at that point. Because that's where, if I recall correctly, that's where she learned that her father hit her mom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So her foundation for her, the goods, the side that she sees as good, the good side of her, is so, is kind of sort of
over rocked to its core.
Yeah. All right. I think we have one last Cloak and Dagger feedback.
Let's see. Oh, yep. 084 hit us up with his end cap email. It says, "Woo, what a way to cap off a wonderful first season. Let's get right into it. MCU TV is notorious for refusing to give us a time setting because that would be convenient, pleasant, other nice things. I digress. But they give us one here. Mardi Gras, 2000 and something. I'm saying 2016 for now. That's good to know-ish. I've heard mixed opinions on the song choice toward the end of the episode, but I loved it. Cover songs are a weak spot of mine, so maybe I'm biased." Oh, yeah, the choice of Come Sail Away.
Oh, yeah, I liked that.
Cover.
I liked that. I just like Come Sail Away in general. It's a weird song, and it's a weird song to use in this context, and that's why I liked it.
Yeah, it felt a little out of place just like hearing the words. I was like, is that really what we want to go with?
I totally agree, but I also, that's kind of why I liked it. It was kind of out of left field. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. 084 continues, "Now for the actual content. Let's pour one out for Connors, who might be hanging out with Calvin Chadwick and a bunch of mice and 1940s Hydra members. At least I hope that's a solid connection. When he ambushed O'Reilly, I expected her to just be like, dude, really? All this stuff is going on and you're still fixated on two episodes ago? Speaking of O'Reilly, the mayhem effects on her were really well done. She should be fun to watch next year. Did you notice she had a stripe on her jacket in the episode? What if Tandy wasn't even part of the divine pairing and it was O'Reilly's sacrifice that saved the city? It might explain how both Ty and Tandy could survive, but I'm not sure if I'd like it."
Oh, that's a great call. That is a great call. She had a stripe on her shoulder. And really, if you think about it, Ty and O'Reilly actually spent a lot more time together. Tyrone and O'Reilly were together a lot. What if they were
the divine pairing?
What if they were the divine pairing? That's actually kind of genius. And what if that's part of the conflict? I don't think it will be, but because I don't think that the divine pairing is really a thing that's going to go forward. We're going to go forward worrying about, really.
Yeah, yeah. And watch, like, in the next season, it'll just be like divine pairing all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's all we'll hear about. Let's see. 084 keeps saying, or keeps on saying, Tyrone's cloak effect was great as well, and I'm glad they did that, even if I'm sad to see his brother's cloak go. Hopefully he can fix it, because I doubt the show can afford to give him a billowing, smoky cloak all the time. I love Tyrone's speech in the evidence lockup, and watching him and Tandy kick all the zombie ass definitely had me pumped the whole time. I sort of wish that they had had more of a big bad and a connection between Roxxon and Connors. Was Scarborough Connors' uncle? Or is there some other old guy scheming in the background getting people off for murder and attempted rape? But hey, that's what season 2 is for, hopefully. This was a great origin story, and now they're ready for a bigger, more focused threat to come their way.
I do think that there was a connection. I forget exactly what it was, but I remember early on in the seasons we were talking about it, and there was some sort of connection between Connors and the Roxxon stuff. Like, I don't even remember what it was, to be honest, but I just remember being like, wait, wasn't that person there, and now they're there, and I don't know, I'd have to go back. But yeah, I do think there was some sort of connection. I just don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, I guess we gotta watch it again.
I'd be okay with that. It's really good.
It was a really good show. Yeah, I would watch this again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with it being just 10 condensed episodes, like, yeah, oh, so just easily consumable, and
so, you know, it's just a bite-sized 9 hours.
Yeah, it's just a little nibble, you know. It's not like trying to watch the Arrowverse shows with 22 episodes of boring shit the entire time. Sorry.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry.
Not to say that Arrowverse is boring, it's just there's a lot of filler.
No, I think that's what you said.
Anyway.
There are a lot of filler episodes. There are some filler episodes. That is a thing we can say about that universe without being very controversial. There are filler episodes.
Out the ass. You got
22 episodes. And what really bothers me is every episode, they insist on having a villain arise and fall in that episode. Because... Yep. It's 1995, and that's how TV works, right?
I don't know if anybody's been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the past 2 years, but no, I don't think so.
And it's so weird. Like, we know what's successful. I don't know. It's just, we know what's successful. It's a show with a good balance of overarching story and self-contained story. Like, it doesn't have to have a new villain every time. You just have to have some sort of thing happen in an episode, some sort of thing overcome, you know, and it builds toward a bigger thing. But they insist on those shows just like almost every episode, and I haven't watched it in about 2 years, so forgive me, I'm a little behind, but almost every episode is like, oh no, this person has some sort of powers, we have to fight them now. Like, it's
yep.
It's so it's,
new meta. We have to find them. Oh, they're bad. We have to fight them.
Yep, that's pretty much the shows. And it drives me a little batty, which is why I haven't watched it in about 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget also that every episode has to have every single character on Team Flash learning a different version of the same lesson.
Oh wow! Yeah.
About character. Yep, dealing with loss in their own ways. Anyway, 084 continues saying, overall, this is about Cloak and Dagger, not Arrowverse.
Yeah.
overall, this series surprised me so incredibly much that I'm tempted to call it the best Marvel TV of 2018. I don't think I can pick a bad episode out of the 10. Even the slow burn moments captivated me, and when they finally got a hold on their powers, I was cheering to my screen. Let's see if Iron Fist can do the same with 10 episodes, not holding my breath. That was him. That was not me. That was him.
Yeah, he did say not holding my breath.
Parenthetical, not holding my breath. Last bullet point. I guess that'll be the next time I email you guys, unless there's crazy news I feel like weighing in on. Given what's happened in the last few weeks, I wouldn't be surprised. Have a good rest of summer.
Thank you, 084. We will. I really hope Iron Fist can pull it off. I think I'm with him. I think I said that on one of our last episodes, that I think this may be the best show they've had, like, from certain perspectives, it's the best show they've done. And you know I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be get in the weeds a little. This,
yeah.
So as I just said, you have to have a good balance between self-contained story and not even necessarily self-contained. I just need an arc on an episode. I need an episode to have an arc. And I do feel like sometimes with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they all just kind of run together like one story. There's very few episodes I think back to and I'm like, oh, that is that episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? I can't really think of them episodically like that. Whereas Cloak and Dagger, I can already do that. We can already think of like, oh, that's the one where they went into that guy's mind. Oh, that's the other one where all the zombies came out at the end. I don't know. I'm just throwing out randomly. Yeah. That's the one where he tries to capture by, you know, teams up with O'Reilly to get Connors. You know, like, they have little benchmarks they're meeting every episode. And sometimes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. loses itself in the overarching story and doesn't have a self-contained story as well. And this story was super balanced in that respect, and I really loved it.
Honestly, the time that I thought that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did the best on their storytelling, like keeping it contained, keeping it tight, keeping it keeping the story moving forward, was season 4.
Oh, yeah.
When they did the pods.
Absolutely.
Like when they had the Ghost Rider pod, and then the LMD pod, and then the Framework pod, like everything, all of those pods were
unfortunately
perfect little self-contained stories.
I'd been saying for years that every season had been better than the last, and unfortunately, I don't think season 5, I liked it a lot, but I don't think it was better than season 4. Season 4 is kind of like the height of S.H.I.E.L.D. for me at this point. It was just a really good, well done way of telling stories, and we said it then. They should do it again, and they didn't. They went right back to what they had done the previous years, and I miss the pods. The little 6 to 8 episode pods is like a really good way to tell a story.
Yep.
If you're gonna do close to 22,
they're the little tidbits.
They're the little bite sized snacks, man.
They're really easily consumable. You just, that was a good story. That was a good story too,
and they all still built on each other, but they're, you know,
yeah. I mean, they had that one through line of the Darkhold being the thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, I think that's all our Cloak and Dagger feedback. I think it is. Unless we get some more feedback, we'll probably just throw some on the end of a feedback episode if we get some more. But thanks for hanging out with us for all this Cloak and Dagger coverage. I've really enjoyed Cloak and Dagger, and hopefully we'll be back with you real soon. I think we'll be back Tuesday with next week's episode of the cast. So come see us. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you'd like to support the cast, go to patreon.com/mcucast. All right, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.